Well, praise the Lord for that message. What a blessing that was. All right. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1. Luke ends his gospel and begins this book of Acts. God worked through Luke to pen the gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. He ends his gospel and begins this book of Acts with Christ's ascension. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascends to heaven to sit on the right hand of God the Father. And here in Acts chapter 1, if you'd stand with me, if you're able to do so, we're going to be reading verse 8 to down to verse 11. Because just as Christ had a message for his disciples after his resurrection, before his ascension, and then in his ascension, it brings us even more insight and brings to us the things that will strengthen us as we look to continue to live for Christ while on this present earth. And so Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for our opportunity to be back in church and this evening service, for all who have taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church tonight and are here. And Father, what a blessing it's already been. Thank you for your church, for your presence, and the ministry of music. But now as we look into your precious holy word, I pray, God, that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. Speak to each one that's here tonight. Give us that spiritual food that we have need of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Jesus' ascension up to heaven and confirms several things as his presence in front of the disciples confirmed a lot of things that encouraged them, especially concerning that glorified body. But it wasn't finished. He still wanted them to have the help and the strength that they would need. And so in his ascension, again, he had taught them for 40 days, and then he would ascend back up to heaven to ever sit at the right hand of God until the church age would come to an end. And that's when he will return, at least to start with, to call the church up. Amen. He will not return to the earth. He'll return in the air, and he'll call the church up, and that's when we'll receive the glorified bodies, and we'll be with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be in with him for the 7 years that there's tribulation on this planet earth, and then we'll return with him for the millennial reign of Christ, as we somewhat mentioned this morning. But his ascension up into heaven, the first thing that this would confirm to them is that heaven and angels are real. They would have no doubt of this when they saw him, first of all, the resurrected Savior. And they now he's met with them for 40 days. And they're with him, and he just revealed to them that they're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit, and they would be witnesses, and they'd be going all over the world. The witness of Christ would go around the world. And then the Bible says that they witness him taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Meaning that as he was ascending, he just vanished. Now, heaven is not outer space. Heaven is not beyond outer space. As we've been studying on Sunday nights, we got into a series here the last several weeks on angelology. We find that the third heaven is the abode of God. That's where he's at. That's a different dimension. And they saw him in this dimension. They saw him in this heaven, this atmosphere of earth. And then they saw him ascend, and in a cloud, he just disappeared. And he went into another dimension, which is heaven, the abode of God, the spiritual kingdom, if you will. It's where they abide. This is a worldly kingdom that we live in today. This is a human kingdom. This is the heaven or the atmosphere that these bodies were designed to live in. Without the atmosphere of this life, this body would not be able to exist in this life. But when we get a glorified body, we will not be dependent upon this world and this atmosphere. The glorified body is going to be designed for heaven, the very abode of God. And so we find here that what this would do is when they would see him, and that now he's revealed to them this the body, a glorified body. He's revealed to them everything that he had taught them is coming to pass. He revealed so much to them, and as he wanted them to view his ascension, they would realize that heaven is real. And it's all around us. The heavenly dimension, the atmosphere of God is all around us. I mean, they're viewing what's taking place on earth. Those that have passed on before us are in spirit. They're there. Now, they have not received their glorified bodies as of yet, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The spirit, when the body dies, it releases a spirit to go to be with the Lord in the very same place that Jesus ascended to. And we will see him at that point. Our spirits will bear witness with his spirit. We will see him as he is. We will not be in a glorified body yet, but there's a heavenly grandstand there that is with the angels, and they're rejoicing over the work of Christ being done on this earth. As we put the things together that the Bible reveals to us about angels and about heaven, the abode of God, the third atmosphere, the third abode of God, the third heaven is the abode of God. Heaven meaning atmosphere. It's not this earth atmosphere, it's not the space, it's a different atmosphere. It's heaven, it's the abode of God. It's real. They knew it was real somewhat when they seen his body. They seen this resurrected Savior now standing before them after they had viewed his death. But now that he is gone, and he's going to give them a promise of his soon return, and that we're going to see that in just a minute. But they're pumped up. They are excited about now, without any doubt at all, they will live and die for the cause of Christ. Amen. And in doing that, they turn the world upside down. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Angels are real. Angels are not human. They do not have a soul. They do not have a body. They're spirits. They're ministering spirits. But they can be revealed as men in white apparel. That's how the disciples would view those as they were focused on Jesus ascending up in heaven. Then they had two men stood by them. These are angels, if you will, in white apparel. And they speak to them. They reveal things to them. Those are angels. Ministering spirits. They're real. We'll get back into that next Sunday night, amen, in our study on angelology. And once we get through angelology, we're going to get into demonology. Understand it's all something that God has revealed to us in Scripture and that we need to be aware of. Yeah. So it confirms that heaven and angels are real. Confirmed to them. Can I tell you, it ought to be confirmed to us as well. You don't have to doubt. Get rid of doubt. Heaven is real. God is real. Angels, the spiritual kingdom is real. This Bible is real. It's the words of God. Stop letting the devil put doubt in your heart and your mind concerning the reality of God and scriptures. Well, it also confirmed, it confirmed that what Christ taught can be believed. He taught them ahead of time, even though they did not fully understand it. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they're nodding their head like, oh yeah, I understand it. And you know, by just looking at their eyes, they have not a clue what you just told them. He had told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and there he would be crucified. But he told them on the third day he'd resurrect. He had revealed all these things to them and they just shook their head like, oh yeah, 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 we understand. And they didn't understand any of it until afterward. And then they understood all of it. And they were strengthened by everything that he had taught them while he walked with them. All of that come back to them. Yeah. It confirms that what Christ taught can be believed. Look to chapter 1. Look back over verses 1 through 3 of Acts. The Bible says this in verse 1 and 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It's recorded for us today. He walked with them, but it's recorded for you and I today. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Before he had taught them all these things, while he was walking with them and living with them for some 33 years, and you know, some after, of course, his public ministry, about 3 years or so. But we find that he had been presenting all these truths to them, and they somewhat took them in, but they didn't really have the faith to understand or to believe them. But after the resurrection, he met with them. And now he's going over everything that he had taught them. He's going over everything that now they have no doubt that they can believe and understand what he's saying. If you get rid of doubt, if you, when you get into your Bible reading or you come to hear the Word of God being preached, you ought to get into the Bible reading ahead of time saying, I believe everything in this book. Whether I understand it or not, I believe everything in this book. I know that there are no contradictions in this book. When I read something that it seems to be a contradiction, I have to just look at myself and say, it's your ignorance of the Bible that makes you think there's a contradiction. It's your ignorance of the Bible that confuses you as to what is truth. The Bible is truth. Before I read it, I already believe it. And as long as somebody is preaching the Bible, I'm going to believe what they are preaching if they're preaching the Bible. And helping me to have a better understanding of what thus saith the Lord. If you get rid of the doubt when you read the Bible, if you get rid of the doubt when you go into your prayer closet to pray, if you get rid of the doubt when you start applying the Word of God to your life, it makes all the difference in the world. I guarantee you, for 40 days, I mean, it was a crash course on everything he had taught them previously. It was a crash course on everything that the Bible had presented to them. It was a crash course, if you will, on New Testament Christianity and what they were going to be doing and going out and being witnesses and seeing souls saved and establishing New Testament churches. But that's exactly what they did. From that moment, after his ascension, they got rid of all doubt and they believed every word that he said, that he told them. Made a difference in their lives. When you believe the Bible, when you get rid of doubt, it'll make a difference in your life. Doubt hinders your work for Christ. Doubt hinders your peace of God. Doubt hinders your joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't let Satan or the influences of this world hinder your belief in the reality of God and the reality of Jesus Christ and the reality of heaven and the reality of the spiritual kingdom of angels. It confirms that what Christ taught can be believed. It confirms that the Great Commission is the mission of his church. The last thing that he gave to them was the Great Commission, or the mission for the church that he would establish. And the church is made up of individual born-again believers. And so it's every believer's call. It's every believer's mission to be witnesses. And we come together as God has the, he plants every member into the church, into the body of Christ. We make up the body of Christ. And as Jesus Christ has planted you here, then we all together then carry out the commission that he's given to us. Confirms that the Great Commission is the mission of the church. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were still human, amen? See, they messed up. That's why they didn't listen to what he said before, because in their minds they had already come to the conclusion the Messiah is going to lead us to world power. But he came to be a sacrificial lamb the first time. When he returns, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will reign and rule and reign from Israel, from Jerusalem. And he said, verse 7, that's what they ask him. He straightens them out again here. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But he says, this is what I want you to focus on. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Take this gospel. You have the knowledge and the understanding of this. You are a witness. Take this gospel as a witness and tell everybody. Take it around the world. Don't leave anybody out. Yeah. It confirms that the Great Commission, which is taking the gospel to every creature around the world, is the mission. And it will remain the mission of the church, the main purpose of the church throughout this New Testament church age. The fourth thing it confirms. It confirms that we have the power available to do the work. Yeah. See, not only we have the Holy Spirit, but he said in Matthew chapter 28, when he was given the Great Commission, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us. He's in the midst with us here tonight because we've assembled in his name. And we have the desire to do his will. As a church, we want to accomplish what he has us here to accomplish. As long as you know that you have a desire to do the will of God and you want to accomplish what he has you here to accomplish, listen to me, you'll never be without his presence, his power, to enable you to be all that God would have you to be and to accomplish all that God would have you to accomplish. Individually, and as a church. Yeah. Confirms that. It confirms that we have an intercessor today with an almighty heavenly Father. He was taken up. The Bible says in verse 9, he was taken up. Where did he go? Romans in chapter 8, and of course he revealed it, and it says it reveals several places in the scriptures, but Romans in chapter 8, verse 34, let me read this to you. Romans 8, 34 says this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He died, he resurrected, he ascended, he's on the right hand of God, the Father, ever living to make intercession. He's our intercessor. Praise God for that. You have him interceding for you. Yeah. And he'll never leave you. Praise the Lord for that. Lastly, tonight, it confirms that he is coming back.
Amen.
If the prophecies that he was to come, being born of a virgin, and die on Calvary's cross and resurrect on the third day, and all that is prophecy concerning the Messiah. And that we know has been fulfilled. If what was said about him has been fulfilled up to his return, why would we not believe in what he said would take place in the prophecy of his return? Back over in the book of Acts in chapter 1, it says, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Stop wasting time. This same Jesus, the very same one, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come. He will come out of that third heaven. He'll come out of that dimension of the spiritual kingdom. He'll come out of that in like manner. Probably seem as he was received into heaven in a cloud. I believe we might be able to look up and through a cloud see him returning and the trumpet sounding. So shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Confirms that he's coming back. He said, the curiosity of humanity, just like the disciples, when's it going to be? It's not for you to know. If you'd have known 20 years ago, it might have been a little harder for you to sacrifice and live as God would have you live for the last 20 years, if you knew you had 20 years before his return. So many people say, well, I'm going to wait until I see the evidence, and when I know it's coming, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get saved right before his return, which is ridiculous. That'll never happen, because we don't know when he's going to return. But we ought to be prepared by living the life that is pleasing to him every day of our lives. If we would get up every morning thinking, this is the day, and it could be, this is the day, how our lives would be different. We get this mentality, well, it's been a while, so I'm sure it might not. Maybe I can give in to this temptation. Maybe I can do that, and still, he won't come during that time. Yeah. That's why it's not for us to know. Luke in chapter 12. In Luke in chapter 12 and verse 40. Jesus tells his disciples, be ye therefore ready also. When's the rapture going to take place? When are you going to return for the church? Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. He is coming. You ought to get rid of doubt. There's no doubt. He is coming. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper so that we would remember. And in remembering, being ready for his return. That's the whole idea of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. We're done. Verse 23. The Apostle Paul instructing the church on biblical communion. Biblical communion was given by Jesus Christ to his church to remember him, to be ready for his soon return. And we had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It doesn't turn into the body and the blood. It is symbolic of the body and blood that was shed for us on Calvary's cross. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. It's a serious thing, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If you're not ready for his return, you shouldn't partake of the communion. He warns us about that. If you're not ready for his return, but the thing of it is, if we, it's all confirmed, it's true, why would we not be want to be ready? Saved, baptized, member of the church, serving God, being ready for his return. Are you ready? It's confirmed. He's coming back, along with all these other things. The question tonight, am I ready? If I could have every head bowed. It's an invitation time. I'm going to ask the deacons, they're going to go out, they're going to get the communion. You can be ready. You can get yourself ready even tonight by simply coming to this altar. If you're not saved, get saved. If you've never been baptized as a believer, then you need to surrender to biblical baptism. If you're not serving God, commit to serving him. If you have sin in your life, confess and forsake it. Think about how you would want to be when the rapture takes place. What kind of heart condition, what kind of mental condition, where would you want to be when the clouds open, you hear the trumpet, and he calls us up? If you're not there, come to the altar tonight. Get there. Be ready. It could be tonight. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Pray that you would just help us to take in what we have heard tonight from your word, from this ascension of Christ leading up to this memorial, thinking about our Lord's sacrifice and thinking about his soon return. I pray that you'd bless in this invitation time. In Jesus' name.